Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Welcome to Mission Walks Live, another Messiah's Branch National Satellite Radio Program. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is August 6, 2015. Folks, with Mission Walks Live, we are warning the world as it happens. If you need help with anything after this program, please call me. If you need a prayer, you can call me for that also. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-8788.
That lacked immune system cells in order to keep the organs from being rejected, according to the report.
4886. And for the record, you know, we had another way that we have been praying over people, and I suggest you might want to take this route. You can get on our website, which I'll tell you about that in a minute. But you get on the website, get our email address, which is either pastor@wichitahomeless.com or elcm@messiahsbranch.org. But you can get that at the website. Point is, a lot of people, if you send me your prayer request by email, here's what I'll do. You put your phone number in it if you want me to call you back. And that email I will print out, and I'll take it to Messiah's Branch, and on after Sabbath service at the end of it, when we have our prayer circle, we will anoint it with oil and pray over it, all of us. And so then if you want that particular letter back or email back after we prayed on it, you send me your physical address, and we will send the anointed letter back to you at no charge to you. I mean, come on, what's a stamp? I'll pay for the stamp and an envelope and send it back to you if that's what you want. Some people like to do it in this manner, or you can just simply call me. Remember, 620-878-4682. And you can always find updates with the breaking news on our ministry, radio program archives, and our mailing address on our blog, which is simply prophecyhour.com. Our program archives can also be found there at prophecyhour.com and branch.podomatic.com. Both are very smartphone friendly. In fact, at branch.podomatic.com, they have an Apple app and an Android app that you can get to download to your phone. But you can just go over there and click on play or download either one without adding an app if you want to. So go over there and check it out. And for the record, on prophecyhour.com, on the right-hand side, there's a box that has a picture of an angel blowing a horn, and there's a asteroid hitting the earth, and it says End Time Radio Archives. If you click on that, it will take you to that branch site that I was speaking about, which is our radio program archives. There's also some players on prophecyhour.com where you can play the latest five programs or so. So go check it out, prophecyhour.com, and there also, if you want the latest breaking news that's important around the country, you can find that there also. Anyway, now we'll bring it with prayer, and we'll bring on tonight's guest, and it's going to be a really good program. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray, Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not mine, nor my guest's will, but your will, Father, so it glorifies you and doesn't glorify us. In Yeshua HaMashiach's name, amen and amen. Well, tonight will be a really great program. We have on with us the author of the Millennium Chronicles, A Road to Final Rebellion, Discovering the Language of Jesus, The First 6 Days, and Corrupting the Image. Now, Corrupting the Image is one of my personal favorites, and if you haven't read that, you really need to read it. In fact, I think that was the first book that I talked to our guest tonight, Douglas Hamp, about, And if you want, you can go to our radio archives and you can look back and you can listen to that program, although I'd like to do an updated program with him about it sometime. Anyway, our guest has earned his M.A. in the Hebrew Bible and ancient Near East from the Hebrew University of Jerusalem, Israel. During his 3 years in Israel, he studied both with modern and biblical Hebrew, biblical Aramaic, Koine Greek, I don't know, he can tell us, and other ancient languages, as well as ancient texts and archaeology of the Bible. He has served as assistant pastor at Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, where he teaches at the School of Ministry, Spanish School of Ministry, and Calvary Chapel Bible College Graduate School. Douglas Hamp has given numerous lectures on biblical language, creationism, and the end times in the United States and internationally. He's a committed follower of Jesus. He lives with his wife and three children in Southern California. Well, Doug is a wonderful teacher, and our subject tonight is Torah versus Grace, and this should be a very interesting and a must-share program. Well, welcome, Doug. Are you there with us?
I'm here, yeah. Thanks for having me.
Well, amen. When I asked you to come back on, and then I said, well, what subject? And you sent me back Torah versus Grace. I was really overjoyed. I didn't realize that you came from any school of thought like that.
Well, I didn't used to. You know, I think this is where you just allow the Holy Spirit to keep teaching you, and guess what? He does. Yeah. So, you know, it's exciting. I want to keep learning as much as I possibly can about the Lord. And then, you know, not only learning, but I want to implement. I want to be a doer, not a hearer only of the word. So, I think this is a huge issue. And I just feel that the church has really taken kind of a wrong stance on the law. And I'd like to help dispel that if I could.
Yeah, amen. I also noticed that lately, haven't you been doing some audio teachings or on your own radio program about this?
Yeah, I have a weekly study that I do, and everyone can check that out on my YouTube channel if they want. And that's where I've been going through the book of Exodus, and as you go through it, you have to talk about this stuff. And it's exciting. You know, I want to, you know, just share the joy of it. In fact, I'm in the heart of the Ten Commandments right now through my teaching. So it's been a lot of fun.
Well, amen. You know, when I came out of the world, you know, and I read my Bible, I was in church. I thought I needed to go to church because the Father had saved me. And, you know, it just, to me, didn't, the way they were doing things, and, you know, not talking about rapture or any of those kind of things, but just the way that they was doing things and the way they were talking didn't seem like it was adding up. And so, you know, I was called out of the church, the mainstream Christian church.
Traditional, I think, is the term.
Traditional, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
And I just want to hold up one thing about the law. To me, the word law is not a very good translation, you know. To me, it seems so binding and everything, but, you know, it's actually the root word of there. You can correct me if you think I'm wrong, but the root word is Torah, and Torah is indeed an archery term, which means hitting the mark. And it's known as God's instructions. So take us into that. What have you found out about the Father's instructions?
Yeah, it's a great thing, and you're absolutely right. Torah comes from the Hebrew root, yera, which means to shoot, generally to shoot an arrow. So by implication of that, we have the word Torah, we have the word moreh, which is a teacher. So if it means to hit the mark, guess what not hitting the mark is? Well, that's sin, right? And in fact, that's what we see exactly in 1 John. It says that whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. So, you know, for whoever's listening right now, and they might be thinking, oh, you know, they're such Judaizers or legalists. Look, you know what? I'll tell you what. First of all, you know, we're calling this law versus grace, but it's not. You know, it's really not one versus the other. I am so thankful that God is gracious. I'll tell you what, if God were not gracious, I would be done for. My goose would be cooked, etc. So I think about his grace every day. But, you know, having contemplated his grace, I start thinking, well, what is it that I'm supposed to be doing? What is it that he wants me to do? And it's not just a checklist, right? I mean, you know, you get into a relationship with, you know, your husband or your wife, and there's not like this just checklist that you have to do. But you know what? For some people, and I'll tell you, I'll admit it, sometimes a checklist helps me because I'm forgetful, I'm selfish, I'm not thinking about her best, I'm thinking about my best, and sometimes a checklist will help me to be educated on what my wife likes, okay? And so I can kind of go through the list and say, okay, yes, that's right, she likes this, she doesn't like that, she likes this, she doesn't like that. And that's basically what God has given us. He's given us a list of the things that he likes and the things that he doesn't like, and he's also given us a list for the things that our neighbor likes and the things that our neighbor doesn't like. So, and of course, who's your neighbor? Well, Jesus taught about the Good Samaritan, so, you know, that should settle that question. So really, your neighbor is anybody that's not you, okay?
Yeah.
So,
amen.
This is, you know, how do we live with other people? That's the big question. How do we live with other people? And, you know, it all comes down to really one law. The one law is the law of love. And God is love. And God has really one you know, call it law, call it principle, call it gigantic characteristic, right? Everything kind of goes back to this one concept, this one characteristic of love. And so then the expression of that one characteristic we find in really two big spheres. One is loving the Lord, and one is loving our fellow man. Obviously, loving the Lord is going to be different than loving our fellow man because, you know, our fellow man is our peer, whereas God is not our peer. And so God has given us really his top 10 secrets for a very successful life. And if you follow those, and you either keep them or, what should we say, not break them, then you will have a much better life. In fact, one of them even comes with us with a positive promise that if we will honor our father and our mother, then we will have a good life and we'll be in the land for a long time. So, you know, there's this concept within the church that we have been freed from the law, that Jesus nailed it to the cross. And, you know, we hear a lot of these phrases. Generally, they're coming from the Apostle Paul. And I like the Apostle Paul. I have a friend who decided that Paul was actually a heretic and is a false prophet. And I'm like, no, that's not true. It's not true. The problem is that we don't understand Paul. And we don't understand Paul because we're not educated in the things that he was educated in. And this is what Peter even told us. Peter said, our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction. All right, so he says if we're untaught. Well, untaught in what? What are we talking about? Peter, of course, is talking about being untaught in the ways of Scripture. What is Scripture in Peter's day? It's the Tanakh. It's the Torah, the Nevi'im, the Ketuvim. It's the Pentateuch, for you know, lack of a better word, the first five books of Moses. Then we have the prophets, and then we have the writings. That is the Scripture that Paul was using. It's the Scripture that Peter was using. It's the Scripture that, of course, Yeshua was using. That was what they were talking about. And if you're not trained in those, if you're not taught in those, then you're going to come to Paul and you're going to say, oh, Paul says that the handwriting of ordinances that was against us has been nailed to the cross. And you, another place he said talks about it being the ministration of death. And another place he talks about how we're not under law, but we're under grace. And you start getting this idea that, oh, okay, so those 613 laws that God came up with, or Moses came up with, all of those have been done away with, and now we just have to follow the law of Christ, whatever that is, and we live by grace, and now the Holy Spirit's taught us everything, and, you know, we just need to love people, right? But right. It's so flowery. It's so nonspecific. It doesn't give you really a good idea of what that looks like. And, of course, there are some things that...
Let me butt in for a second.
Yes, of course.
You know, I'm fascinated listening to you because you're saying it all so well put, and folks, he really is. But I just have to say something at this point. You know, that's what I found. I've had, you know, different, like one night I had a Christian couple come in to, you know, sit in for Sabbath service and just, well, the Holy Spirit led me just to turn around and ask them, say, do you believe that you can continue on in adultery and, you know, still be saved? And they said, absolutely. And I said, well, who taught you that? And they said, well, the church taught me that. And I said, what do you mean? I said, do you know what sin is? And they both looked at each other, and they really didn't. They came up with a couple of little different answers, like love and, you know, but I'm forgiven for all things and I've got grace. They really had no definitive answer as to what sin was at all. Back to you.
Yeah, absolutely. That reminds me that I've been posting some questions on my Facebook group, and I've asked people, for example, one question is, what is sin? And it was rather disappointing, many of the answers. You know, some people got it, but some people are like, well, it's not keeping God's standard. And so I pressed the question, what is God's standard? They're like, well, you know, it's not living, it's not loving, you know, loving people. I'm like, well, okay, that, you know, that's true, but can you be more specific? I mean, what does it look like? And, you know, and then some people are like, well, you know, it's not, you know, God's holy standard. So what is God's standard, right? You know, let's get specific, people. What is his standard? And, you know, when it finally came out that it's the Torah, people were offended, and they start throwing Paul at me, okay? And, right. And again, this is why I want to bring up Paul, because, look, I love Paul. I think he's awesome. But we have to understand that Paul was at the 800 level, you know, the doctorate level. He was a genius. He thoroughly understood the Hebrew Bible. And if we don't understand the Hebrew Bible, especially the Torah, we are going to miss what Paul is talking about. And we're going to start making assumptions based on a pagan Christianity and not a God-centered, Torah-centered, Hebraically-minded, centered kind of teaching. Yeah. All right? And it's just so important.
Absolutely. You know, a lot of people don't realize that he and Yeshua both, they were quoting Torah so many times, most of the time, and every time, like you say, he pointed to commandments, scripture, all that. He was talking about the first five books of the Bible, you know, or talking about the contents for the people's sake, the Old Testament, just like he said, when he says that, you know, we must, you know, first be circumcised inside before there's an outward display of circumcision. That's Torah. That's in the first five books of the Bible. They say, well, we're supposed to follow what Yeshua says. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. Oh, guess what? If you did away with the Torah, you would have to do away with that, because that's also in the Torah. And then one last one. You know, he rebuked the devil by quoting Torah. Yeshua did after the 40 days and 40 nights. He rebuked him by quoting Torah that man should not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. That's Torah also. So people, you know, bless you all, but you need to read your Torah to understand what they're really saying. Back to you.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me just dovetail with that. In John 14, Jesus says, 14:21, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. So you might say, okay, well, what are his commandments, right? Well, you know, like, just love each other, right? No, he tells you so specifically. He says in verse 24, John 14:24, write this down, people. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. All right? So he's telling us that we are supposed to keep the Torah. And of course, we have that amazing passage in Matthew chapter 5, where Jesus says that he did not come to do away with the Torah, but rather to establish it. In fact, he goes on to say, he says, do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets, that's the Torah or the prophets, in other words, the Tanakh. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Now, here's where the church has done a tremendous disservice, and this is actually a heresy of Marcion. Marcion was an early church father, if we want to call him that. And what he did is he did a metathesis. He switched the word destroy and fulfill. All right, and he said, I did not come to fulfill, but to destroy. Now, we don't hold on to that translation anymore, but we hold on to the idea. Because what we think Jesus is saying, what we teach that Jesus is saying, is that he says, I did not come to destroy it, but to do away with it. All right, and when you start, now, pastors may deny that, like, we don't teach that. Yes, they do. Because when it comes to Paul, they say, well, see, Paul says that Jesus nailed it to the cross and that it's all done away with because he fulfilled it. In other words, he did what was necessary so that I don't have to. And that is kind of the crux of the matter, is that you get this idea that because Jesus did it all, he lived out the law, I don't have to. And that, you know, nothing could be further from the truth, and really just as a wake-up call to us, I think we should also listen to what Jesus says very clearly. He says in Matthew chapter 7, he tells us that, he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. And then he goes on to say, he says, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Okay?
Yeah.
So, that right there, you know, lawlessness is not following the Torah, right? I mean, it just really couldn't be any clearer. And yet, you know, when I keep thinking about how confused I have been and how the church has been, it's really a shocker. You know, it's just kind of a shockeroo that, that we could have been taught this, and I was teaching the same kind of stuff because I didn't know any better. You know, it made sense to me. And let me just say that the Greek word there is without law. So it's lawlessness is no law. Okay, so the law is the Torah. This is what Jesus was talking about. All right, so just kind of having established that, let's go back now and let's think about what is the Torah. Now, a lot of people get confused because they think...
We've got... Just a minute. I'm going to break in. We've got like about a minute and 10 seconds before we go to break, and I can't wait to hear what you got to say, but you need to tell them where your website is and how they can find the discussions. You got about a minute, and then we're going to go to a break.
Okay. You can go to my website at douglashamp.com, and there I post my latest articles. I have all my books. I have my web store. They can go there. I also have my YouTube channel, Doug Hamp. Doug Hamp YouTube channel. You can just go to that, and I have all of my teachings there. Pretty much all of my my archives and whatnot are on my YouTube channel. So I've got over 200 videos. They can go and avail themselves of those teachings, and I hope that they're a blessing to people.
Well, amen. I really know they will, because, you know, Doug, thing I loved about it and still do is I know that you have that humble servant feeling that comes across from when you talk, and so that I know you're a humble man. And this proves it to me. You made progression to clearly something else, and so the people will learn from you, and that's a blessing. Folks, we'll be back in 3 minutes.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku band free-to-air satellite system from ABR. The ABR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149. $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Prices going up, homes being foreclosed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
We're back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Mission Watch Live on the American Voice Radio Network. Folks, please remember to pray tonight about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. Support us so we can care for the people that the Father sends us. Folks, we've been doing this for, we're in our 16th year of doing this. We've helped thousands upon thousands of people, and we do it by faith. You know, faith is an action word. Instead of, you know, like so many churches or organizations, and I'm not down on anybody, they decide to do something, they usually pray about it, and then they go out and fundraise for it, and then they go do it. Well, yeah, amen, that's a good way to do things, but to me, if the Father tells me to do something, I get up and I put in motion the action that it takes. Sometimes we leave here from Florence, Kansas, which, because the mission church is 60 miles away, I really literally just have the gas to get over there. And I just pray, and I know that the Father will give us all the needs that we need to feed the people, to give them clothing and the needs that they come in for. And also, you know, to even give us gas to fill our tanks up and to come back. And He's never failed us in 15th year. And you say, well, that sounds pretty bad. A ministry always broke. Well, it's like this. The money that comes through for us is not for us. It's for the mission church. We spend down to, I'm not going to keep 20 bucks in my pocket if somebody says, I need a pair of shoes and they cost $17. Well, you know, how can I justify that? By faith, I believe that the Father will replace it because he sent the person to me in the first place. So I will spend down to nothing, you know. We literally do so many times. Amen. And so, but we've never had the light shut off. We've never had the electric shut off. We've never failed to give out food. We've never failed to feed them, to do the things that's needed to do. So it's a blessing. We love to do it. And the reason we do it, Father kept me up all night, told me to do it. And so we've been doing it for 15 years, you know. And I'm just so happy that after forgiving me for being a filthy, rotten sinner, that he allows me to serve him. You see, when we help the people, we're serving the Father. We serve him by serving others. And, you know, that's the humbleness. You know, you need to be humble. Amen. You know, we have no set guidelines for our place, like programs. People walk in the door and ask for what they need. You know, we have relationships with them. And if we don't have the way to do it, we, you know, pray it in. This is even why the agencies send their employees to the Father's Little Mission Church. You see, when guidelines stop them from helping, they send people to us. People who have millions of dollars in their budget send people to a place that really has no budget. We are the last hope for so many. And we're all folks responsible to care for one for another, as we are our brother's keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. You can donate online or mail a check or money order. And you can find all this information at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And now we're talking about one of my most favorite subjects. The Torah, which is God's instructions for holy living, as I like to think about it. And we're talking with a really good teacher, Douglas Hamp. Are you there with me, Doug?
I am, yes.
Really? I love this subject. And why I'm enjoying this so much is because, you know, it's you're expressing something that you learned, that, you know what I mean? That I don't know how long you've been doing this, but, you know, it's a change. And, you know, it's just wonderful. And you're putting it so good, of course. Anyway, back to you.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Well, you know, it's the last couple of years this has kind of started to take shape. And, you know, it wasn't something that I was really planning on. But, I've always had a heart for Israel because I lived there for 3 years. And I studied Hebrew, of course, at the Hebrew University. So, you know, I've been aware of some of these things, but it didn't really click until several years ago. And I began to see, I should say this, my family and I have been celebrating Passover dinner for probably about 10 years. And it's just been a lot of fun, you know. And this is the first thing. I mean, why did God give us his laws? Torah, right? His instructions. Well, when you buy a phone and it comes with a instruction book, do they give you the instruction book so that you just might break it and you'll break the instructions and then they're like, yes, you broke it, you know. I mean, what kind of mentality is that? You know, nobody does that. They give it to you so that you can use it properly. And God has given us his instructions so that we can live our lives properly. That's the whole point. And, you know, Moses reiterates what God had said. He says it very succinctly in Deuteronomy 10, verse 12. And now, Israel, what does Yahweh, your God, require of you but to fear Yahweh, your God, to walk in all his ways and to love him, to serve Yahweh, your God, with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments of Yahweh and his statutes, which I command you today for your good. All right, so it's for their good that he gave those. It's for our good that we follow those. And if we love Jesus, then we will keep his commandments. And whoever doesn't keep his commandments does not love him. If you don't love him, you don't keep his commandments. And his words are not his own. They're from the Father. See, that's the point. Is that what Jesus was saying is what the Father had said. And the Father gave the Ten Commandments, etc., back there at Sinai, as a revelation of how to live a successful life. Think about it. When Newton discovered gravity, he didn't invent gravity. He simply discovered it, and then he put it, you know, into a nice mathematical formula. But he didn't make it up. And really, when God gave the Ten Commandments, or he gave his Torah at Mount Sinai, that wasn't something that he just, you know, wrote up on the spur of the moment. These have been in operation since the very foundation of the universe, and the reason that they're in operation is because they are the very building blocks of the universe. You see, God's character is in those instructions. You cannot divorce the two. And in fact, the whole universe is operating on that principle. It's operating on these principles, or this, let's call it the law of love, but it's really operating on this, on really you have a cause and effect. You have the sense of what you sow is what you will reap, right? That's the justice of the universe. But the justice is also based on love. It all goes back to love, and God is love. So when we start thinking about his laws, there's no way that we can divorce these and say, well, you know, he did away with those on the cross. Not at all. I mean, it just couldn't be further from the truth. So I want people to understand that when we talk about the Torah, we're not talking about the Talmud. There's a big difference, and many people don't understand the difference. The Talmud is it's several volumes of writings over hundreds of years, written down by the rabbis, and it's commentary upon commentary of the scripture. Right? It's just like if you go into a Christian bookstore and you've got all these different books by lots of different authors, and some of them are going to radically disagree with one another. In fact, they might even call each other out and say, this guy's wrong or that guy's wrong. It's the same kind of thing that you have in the Talmud. Not all the rabbis agree. It's a discussion. Sometimes it's a debate. And they don't all see eye to eye. Sometimes I like the Talmud, sometimes I can't stand the Talmud, right? Sometimes it has some things against Jesus, and I'm like, whoa, that's not good. But sometimes it has sayings that are parallel to what Jesus was saying, and I'm like, oh, okay, I see that. And without the Talmud, we would be poor because we would not have a good understanding of the cultural context, all right? So I'm not saying that people should follow it, because I don't follow it, but it's good as far as research goes, as far as understanding the times back then. But it has nothing to do with God's Torah. God's Torah are the laws or the instructions that God gave at Mount Sinai. Now let's talk about the so-called 613.
Okay, right, just a minute. I want to say something about that real quick. Two things. Number one, going off this, In John, first chapter, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So the Word that was made flesh, of course, is Yeshua, and we're talking about Yahweh the Father. But the point is that proves that he was there when the commandments made. Nothing was made without him. And so that proves that it was him, absolutely. So
absolutely. I think we'd even go so far as to say that Jesus is the Torah. I mean, if he's the Word, he's the Word, right? And what was, God, you know what the Ten Commandments are called in Hebrew? They are the Aseret HaDivrim, right? So these are the ten words. The ten words, right? So the ten words, I mean, look, if Jesus is the Word, in the beginning was the Word, and God gave his ten words, right, which are all about love, then, this is Jesus. He is the Torah. He is the way, the truth, and the life. We see those same expressions used of the Torah, that it's the way, it's the truth, it is life. You know, God said, I said before you today, life and death, blessing and cursing, you choose. They're all wrapped up in his commandments and his instructions for mankind. And so, this is what we have to understand. But let's talk about the 613, because, I hear this all the time. Oh, those 613 laws, there's so many laws. We're so lucky, we just have to love each other. But come on, people, 613, it's not even that many. We have 25,000 new laws coming out every year in America. So we have millions of laws on the books. And few of us have any clue what all those laws are. I mean, nobody does. There's just too many. And, secondly, just like it is today in our society, all of the laws of America do not affect me. There's only certain laws that I have to understand. Because, for example, let's say I'm not a medical doctor, okay? So all the laws that govern the medical field do not apply to me in my daily life. Now, maybe if I'm wronged and then I start looking into it and, you know, if I want to sue or whatever, then, okay, those suddenly become, become apparent to me. But in my daily life, I'm not thinking about medical practice laws, and I'm not thinking about architecture laws, and I'm not thinking about food industry laws. I'm not thinking about those things because those are not part of my world. So there's lots of laws that don't affect me. But if I'm a restaurant owner, well, suddenly I have to start thinking about, you know, OSHA. I've got to start thinking about, you know, the FDA, and I've got to start thinking about, you know, all these other things that are going to start taking place. And if I'm an employer, then I have to start thinking about, you know, workman's comp and all these other laws that suddenly start to affect my life. But if I'm not an employer and I'm not a restaurant owner, then those laws don't affect me. And the same is true with God's Torah. I mean, there's a whole set of laws that are specifically for the Levites. And if you're not a Levite, then they never apply to you. So those Levitical laws never applied to Jesus, to Yeshua. So he could not even keep those. If you're not a woman, then, you know, the feminine laws don't apply to you, right? So again, there's another set of laws that did not apply to Yeshua. So even Yeshua, Jesus, could not keep all of the laws because, you know, he wasn't all of those things. You know, he's not a priest, he's not a woman, he's not a farmer. So those particular laws did not apply to him because he didn't fill that role.
Right.
So, you know, and 613, again, it's very few, many of them don't apply. And if you start to go through the so-called list of 613, I call it the so-called because if you start looking at the way that these are numbered, and they're numbered by a guy named the Rambam, that, in my opinion, many of them are duplicates. And sometimes they'll even take one verse and they'll split it up into two different laws. And so I think it's a little bit arbitrary, but even so, there's not that many laws, really. And the core of the law is given to us in Exodus 20 through 23. Because that's where we have the 10 words of the 10 commandments, and then it's followed up by the stipulations of what happens if you steal, what happens if you murder, what happens if you bear false witness, what happens if you commit adultery, right? And so those are, those are just the what if happens, you know, in
right.
certain circumstances.
Well, let me pause for a moment. Let's go with this. I love what you say about, you know, not being under this law or that law. And you know, one of the ways that I explain things is the word under. People say, well, you're trying to put me under the law. Well, I'm not under, you know what? I don't break any of the Ten Commandments. And so, you know, until I'm a commandment breaker, I'm really not under that law. If I'm not a liar, the law of thou shalt not bear false witness has no effect on me because I'm not a liar. And so, you know, I'm not under that law. You get under the law when you break the law. It's just like I'm not a drug pusher. So the laws of drug pushing, I'm not under those because I'm not a drug pusher, you know. And the same goes with, you know, everything. If I'm not breaking it, I'm not under it. And also, like you say, you know, if I'm not that, if it's talking about a farmer, I'm not that. But something I will point out to the people, you know, you think, well, you know, they make so many sacrifices, and yes, of course, the sacrifices in many different ways all point to Yeshua. But they also learn something else, Doug, and this is one of the things that we do when we teach Torah, when we read it over and over. So what do I learn from that? What do I learn that this guy had to take his best cow or his best sheep and, you know, without spot or wrinkle and sacrifice it? Well, let's go with this. That teaches us that sin costs. For that man to raise that cow or that sheep for it, and to bring it to maturity, that was an expensive item for him. And so when he had to make that sacrifice and give that up, it showed him that his sin, his action, cost something.
And that's something that we learn from Torah. Even if we don't, we're not a farmer and we don't make sacrifices. We learn those kind of things, let alone once we start opening these things up about what the sacrifices meant or mean. Then you'll find a clear path to Yeshua and how he fulfilled so many things, just like he is the red heifer, you know. But that's a 2-hour program to go into. Didn't mean to take over for you. Back to you.
Not at all. No, not at all. Well said. I mean, you know, we could go on with this discussion for a very long time, but you know, the law is really a good thing. And I tell you what, the more I look into the law, the more I appreciate God's grace. Because, you know, I start to think about how, you know, I've not kept it perfectly. But it is my goal. It is my goal to keep it perfectly, right? So Jesus said, be perfect even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Well, so what should our goal be? Our goal should be to keep the law perfectly. Now, if we stumble and we fall, what does the Bible say? A righteous man falls 7 times, but he gets back up, right? So there's provision for me. If I blow it, if I mess up, then I have to do what? I have to repent. I have to, you know, first of all, confess it. Then I have to repent it. That's all in the Torah. This isn't something new that came along with Jesus and suddenly there's this formula for being made right. That's not the case. The only thing that, in my opinion, that really changed was the means of sacrifice. And this is where it gets really, really exciting. Because, you know, we hear about the Old Testament, we hear about the New Testament, but what do those terms actually mean? I asked my pastor some time ago, I said, what is the Old Covenant? And, you know, the thing that we carry around with us, right? And not just the books, but what is this agreement, this contract that we talk about? What is that thing? And it was kind of eye-opening to me that he really didn't know, right? So here's a very intelligent man. He's been a pastor for a very long time. You know, he's a good, godly guy. I'm not holding anything against him. But he didn't know. He had no idea what was the Old Testament. And so, you know, that really taught me a lot, that if we don't know what the Old Testament is, how could we possibly know what the New Testament is? But, you know, again, people are not asking the question. They just assume that the New Testament is sort of like a new deal, you know, that, well, now we have this new deal, and now it's all about grace. It's not about the law. And we kind of get off, you know, scot-free, so to speak. And it's wrong. And here's where, let me tell you, this gets so exciting. Because what really happened at Mount Sinai? Now, when I was in the Hebrew University, what I learned is that God entered into a suzerain vassal relationship. Okay, that's kind of a fancy term for, you know, the boss and the serfs, okay? But a suzerain vassal relationship. So God is a suzerain, he's the king, and now he's making this treaty with his subjects. All right, but that's not what it was. That is not what it was. What it was is a marriage. God entered into a marriage with Israel. How do we know that? Because he later divorced Israel. There's a shocker, okay? God got divorced, all right? You know, and it says so clearly in Jeremiah 3:8 that God gave Israel a bill of divorce, all right? Now, we have to understand that, I mean, really, this is a beautiful picture that I kind of painted one time in a study I did where, you know, God goes in, he rescues his wife from slavery, and, you know, he gets her out, you know, sort of a Mission Impossible kind of style, right? And then they go to the wedding chapel, and they get married. But that same night when they're having their wedding feast and all their friends are there, and God goes out to look for his wife, and, you know, where is she? Well, she's out. You know, it turns out she's off with an old boyfriend, right? And he's heartbroken. Like, what? How could you do this? And he's about to say, you know what, that does it. I'm over with you. But then he remembers, you know what? She comes from a bad house. You know, she didn't have any good training. And so he decides to keep on loving her. And, well, some years go by, and she's still doing this. Incidentally, there's sort of this personality split, as it were, and now Israel has become the southern kingdom of Judah and the northern kingdom of Israel, also known as Ephraim or Samaria. But so Ephraim or the northern kingdom goes on absolutely committing adultery of the worst kind.
Right.
And not only that, but she's also, you know, paying her lovers with the money that God gave her. And, you know, imagine that you see your sweetheart, but you see the keepsake that you gave your sweetheart on your anniversary, but it's on the neck of somebody else's wife, right? And you're like, how did it get there? Like, well, that was the payment that she made. She used your stuff to make payment to these lovers and
right.
such. And then she even goes further that the little children that she has, she destroys them after, you know, not wanting them. So all this, you know, stuff is happening, and finally God says, enough is enough, I cannot do it anymore, and he divorces her. But he makes a promise that he will marry her again. He will betroth her to himself forever. Hosea chapter 2. And it's like, well, that's wonderful. God, you're so gracious. Excellent. But there's a problem. Because in God's law, it says that if a man has a wife and she commits adultery,
mm-hmm.
and then she becomes another man's wife, and she commits adultery again, and he sends her out with a bill of divorce, so now she's been divorced twice, she cannot go back to the first husband. That would be an abomination. It would defile the land.
Right.
So now there's this divine conundrum. What is God to do? Right? He wants to take her back. That would be the loving and gracious thing to do. But he cannot violate this principle of taking her back, because that would violate the land, and it would be an abomination. So what does he do? The only solution possible is, because the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives, but if the husband dies,
right.
then the wife is free from the law of the husband. And this is what Paul says in Romans chapter 7. I think this is why he gets so excited about it.
Yeah,
is because he realizes, he's like, whoa, do you realize what just happened? The husband, Jesus, Yeshua, you know, God incarnate, he comes, he dies, so that now the old marriage covenant, not the Torah, but the old marriage covenant that was made at Sinai, has now been laid to rest. It's been nullified. Right? So it's kind of like, you know, let's say that you know, you get struck by lightning and you're rushed to the hospital
right.
and they can declare you dead, right? And then 5 hours later you come back to life. And you're like, look, I'm going to my life insurance company. I'm going to collect, right? Because I was dead, but now I'm alive. And I have the marriage certificate to prove that I was dead and now I'm alive, right? So that's really what's happening, is that, you know, Jesus died. So now Israel, the northern kingdom of Israel that was divorced, can now come back into the fold, can come back into that marriage
yeah, amen.
Relationship.
Amen.
And that is
yeah.
good news. Okay.
That is very good. We're basically at the end of the program. Yeah, that's wonderful. And I wondered if that's where you were going with this. The husband had to die, so she was no longer bound to her husband's law. But then Yeshua rose from the dead, and so he gave himself as another husband. And so, amen, it's such a wonderful picture. Well, hey, Doug, you're going to have to come on back on and talk some more about this. And maybe I bet I got people out there going, well, I thought I was saved by grace. So maybe we ought to go into, you know, explain about salvation and then, you know, what it means afterward. But anyway, tell the people where you're at, and we'll do it again.
Yeah, it's at douglashamp.com. They can go there and check out my books and articles. You can go to YouTube.com/user/Doug Hamp. That's my YouTube channel. I've got over 200 videos there. They can go and check out. I do a weekly Bible study. It's every Thursday, in fact. So that's tonight at 7 p.m. Pacific time. And you can join me live or you can catch the replay.
Well, amen. Thanks for being on, and I'm so glad you're teaching Torah. You be blessed, brother. Thanks for being on.
Thank you. God bless.
God bless. Wow, that's wonderful. Well, we've got to hurry and get out of here. Pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. We really need your help. Always, always, always be a blessing to others. But remember, there is only one God, and that's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for our repented sins. He rose after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father.
pray about supporting a mission church again. It's the first of the month. We're in a new month, and we need to restock and do all those things. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's like praying for Messiah's return. Lord our God, Father, King of the universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.